When I looked in the New Revised Standard Bible, the heading for this passage was, "All lands are summoned to praise God." And my first thought was, gee, that would answer George's prayer request of a few weeks ago that we pray for peace in the world. Because if all the lands were praising God, hey, we'd be together. So this is a psalm for giving thanks. And it was probably used as long ago as like 400 BC, 2,500 years ago, for worship on the Sabbath. Here we are, just like the Israelites. Psalm 100. Shout with joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him singing with joy. Acknowledge that the Lord is God. He made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. Go into his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good. His unfailing love continues forever, and his faithfulness continues to each generation. May the Lord bless to us this reading of his holy word. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Diane. Let's pray. Come, Spirit of God. Breathe wisdom. Let there be wisdom on my lips. Let there be wisdom in our hearts. Fill our minds with your wisdom. Yes, Lord, we need it. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. One of the serious issues facing the church in our day is junk food. Now, I'm not going to be talking about candy bars and pop, okay? Don't worry. I'm talking about the spiritual junk food that's served up oftentimes under the heading of worship. It happens in the Western world especially. I think we get it, that there's not one of us that would ever be satisfied to live on, or indeed to raise our children on a diet that's going to leave them malnourished and weak. You know, we're not going to do that. We don't want to have them be deficient in those things that are going to be healthy and wholesome and raise them up to be strong and vital young people. And neither should we be willing to let that happen in the gathered worship of the church. I've been talking over, this is the fourth Sunday and two more to go, about all about worship, journey through the New Testament, the Old Testament, the New Testament, and then looked last week about scattered worship, the worship that takes place 24/7 in the world we live in, and gathered worship right here as we are this morning. We want to have, in this gathered time of worship, the healthy food of heaven, the bread of heaven. Now, I'm not going to be talking about music today. Oftentimes, people get this impression, you know, that worships music. Well, I'll talk about that whole songs, hymns thing next Sunday. Today, I want to look at something different. I really want to look at something bigger than that, something that's really more encompassing. I want to talk about the whole service of what happens from start to finish when we gather here for worship. What's to happen here in this time that we have together that's going to be spiritually healthy and wholesome, and is going to nourish faith in us, is going to help us grow our lives personally and together in the way and the will of Jesus. Well, the very first thing to say on this is that weekly gathered worship, and I mean that this weekly, week by week by week, not scattered worship on Sundays. That's what happens in the Monday to Saturday, but the weekly gathering here as we come consistently, it is to help us to hear God more clearly. We got some God spellers around, are we? You're going to recognize some of this. I think some of them have been coming out on Wednesday nights we're going to see hopefully a production of Godspell, but you're going to hear it right here actually, because that's what this time does, to hear God more clearly and to love God more dearly and to learn to follow Jesus more nearly. How does a child learn to speak? Well, I've got a six-month-old grandson, and I like to think to myself that when I'm with him and I'm having all these I'm making strange, funny sounds coming out of my mouth, you know, these words and all the rest, that he's listening. I know he's listening. He's gonna catch it in there. You know, it's through the repetition. It's through the imitation. Not just of his grandfather, grandmother, but of his parents. How does a child learn to walk? I was talking with my daughter yesterday, and she was telling me about how, you know, he just loves to walk. They're holding him, you know, just walking along. It's the parents, you know, taking the time, patiently, repeatedly, lovingly pointing the way, showing the way to their child. How do we learn to hear God more clearly, to love God more dearly, and to follow Jesus more nearly? Well, it's caught week by week, again and again as we gather together in our singing, in our praying, in our sharing, and in our giving here in gathered worship. And as well as being caught, it's something that's also taught in the reading of God's Word, as Diane did this morning, in the preaching of Scripture-based messages. A healthy spiritual diet will always place a high premium on what I would call that, I'm going to call it that unconscious process, that osmosis, if you will, of learning the caught stuff, the singing, the praying, the sharing, the giving that we do here, as well as in the disciplined process of studying God's Word, of looking into the Scriptures, of wanting to know more from the Word of God, His will and His way for us. So every Sunday when we gather, we're called, you forgive me if I put it like this, it works for my mind and heart anyway, but we're called to cultivate an organic, chemical-free garden of super-enriched spiritual food, start to finish. And none of that happens by accident. Actually, it happens by intention. Because week by week, gathered worship, it represents the worship story, the worship song of God, the gospel to us. We have it in all of its dimensions laid out for us here. Why? This is different, this gathering, than maybe another weekly gathering that you go to of a civic club or of a community organization. What happens here is the presenting of the gospel of God every week, week by week. We need it. We need it. If not just if we're even going to survive and just hang on by our fingertips. We need this. Week by week, the gospel, if we're going to thrive and prosper in life. It's only God who can point us in the direction of a future. It's only God that can give us life hope. It's only God that will never disappoint us and let us down. And week by week, we need to hear it again and again and again until it just gets stronger and larger and bigger in our lives. And what is that? What is that gospel? Well, I went through this on the first two Sundays of this series, but it starts with God being love. Even before the beginning, there was a beginning. The Trinity, the community of love. God creates, creation. The disconnect of sin. Jesus' gift of salvation. He's the one who redeems, and God making everything new. So week by week, this is what forms the service that we have here together as God's people. That's what's here. This is really the paradigm. What you see there on the screen, it's the model of what our worship service is meant to look like. Think of it like a five-chapter story or a five-verse song. It's the order of worship for us as we come together on Sunday mornings. What does it actually look like? Well, it starts with God. God is love. God creates. The very first thing of worship should not be something about me, something about you, even something about the world that we live in and the need of the world. No, we begin with God. We start by looking at the beauty and the wonder and the glory, the holiness of our Creator and our Redeemer. We bring our songs of adoration. We offer our prayers of praise. We affirm God's worth. We lift up the name of the Lord. We ascribe glory and honor to the living God. You know, Diane, reading the Psalm 100 this morning, it's put there as the scripture reading, but, you know, it would be an incredible call to worship. What's a call to worship? It's not me calling you or you calling me. It's God calling us. We put the name, the person of God, right at the front, right at the beginning. We celebrate God. We focus on God. We put our gaze on God. We give God our complete attention. And week by week, that starts to have a deep effect on us, on me and on you. To focus on God is really to become less absorbed, self-absorbed with oneself. What happens is we develop a new language. We have new images that are given to us as, you know, by this process of osmosis or this unconscious learning when we sing and we pray at the outset of worship about God. We see that in all the rest of our life, the most important thing we can do is to keep God first. Put God at the beginning. Start with God. And then we cry out in our brokenness. This is really the disconnect of sin. To know God is to know that I'm not God. And to realize that I'm not God is to see my great need of God. To praise God in His holiness and His glory is really to get it. I've fallen short. I've missed the mark. And I need to confess to God my brokenness. Now, you've heard the phrase, I'm sure, that confession is good for the soul. Well, it is. Confession's liberating. It's freeing. When you know that your chains fall off, you've been set free, you're free to be transparent and to be honest. You don't have to have a hidden face or appearance. You know, it's not that we come to worship and we say, I'm okay, you're okay, we're all okay, you know, keep this thing rolling, let's keep going. No. We stop, we pause, and we say, I'm not okay, and we're not okay. And the world's not okay. And we take time to repent of the disconnect in our relationship with the Lord, to lament before God the evil, the injustice, the oppression that tears and rips apart the lives of people in our world. And we can't stay there. The gospel doesn't stay there, because next we have really what I call the transforming power of the gospel. We have a God who's merciful and gracious. God forgives, and following any prayer of confession, there's the assurance that through Jesus' death on the cross, the chains do come off. We are set free. You know, I've never been able to forget that picture from one of the writings of Corrie ten Boom, a Dutch woman in the Second World War, a wonderful, beautiful Christian woman, and she said this about forgiveness, that God takes our sins and He buries them in the deepest sea. And then He puts a sign up on the shoreline, don't go fishing. They're gone. We're forgiven. And then we move from there I said this as we came to pray, those who know truly and deeply the redeeming work of God, well, they're really confident people. We can pray our thanksgiving, sing our thanksgiving, pray our gratitude, and we can pray our intercessions. I mean, we can pour out our hearts to God. We can cry out to God. We had the one song here. It had eight beautiful asks in it. You know, God, come, change me, change this world. It's our joy, you see. It really is our privilege. In all of the brokenness and hurt and pain of the world that we live in, it's our privilege to bring it to God in prayer. And then we say to the Lord, after all of that, Lord, come and teach me. Show me your way, that we may walk in it. We take time to have the taught part of the service, the teaching time from God's Word. And this all revolves around our understanding that Jesus is the one who holds everything together. Every page of the Bible reveals Jesus. It shows Jesus, and our thirst, it needs to have no end. It needs to grow. It needs to increase. It needs to deepen. Lord, give me more hunger. Give me more thirst to read your word each day in the teaching time of Sunday morning. You know, you don't need from me or anyone else who speaks here platitudes. You don't need bromides. You don't need, you know, the things. We want wisdom. We need understanding. We need to get God's way. We need to see the wisdom of God revealed in Jesus Christ. And then we're sent out, the ending of the service, we're sent out with God's blessing on God's mission. Christians of all people are pointed people. And by that, I am not talking about Pinocchio, okay? No, I'm talking about truth here, not deception and not lies. We're pointed people. We've come to know the God who's committed to making everything new. Our lives have a direction that we are pointed in. And we get a glimpse of it in our everyday lives. You know, once in a while we see glimpses of it, but what we're looking for, what we're pointed towards, is God's total makeover of the world that we live in. And that will happen on the day that Jesus returns, when God brings in his new heaven and new earth. Now, we're not sent out of here to make any of that happen. It's not our responsibility. That's God's work. But we are sent out of here with the blessing of God upon our lives through the Holy Spirit to be walking, talking, living representatives of that new day that's coming. It's put on display. What God is saying, I want to pour my blessing out in your life so that when people look at you, they're going to see tomorrow. They're seeing what I'm doing tomorrow, today, in your life. And it's not going to be by your might nor by your power. It's going to be by my Spirit poured out in your life that people are going to see this. And so at the end of the service, in essence, what we're saying is, God, we receive your blessing. We sing the song here sometimes. Some of us were at the Redeemer Worship Refresh and Renew Conference yesterday, and the two women who wrote this song were there, Grace Mose and Colleen Reinders. But we receive your blessing. We receive your power. We receive your life. All of our gathered worship, I want to invite the praise team if they could come forward. But all of our gathered worship is meant to shape us and form us. Everything that happens here from start to finish to get us more and more aligned with the life and the way of Jesus. And inside of it all, that gospel story, there's an incredible measure of latitude, of all kinds of space and room for us to fill it with songs and our prayers and our sharing and our giving and maybe even our dancing. You know, yesterday a friend for several decades, Belle Mavardi, was there, and she's one of the foremost worship dancers really in Canada. You know, there's so much space and in room in worship for us to fill this in. Really, the sky here is the limit. But all of those particulars need to be part of that form and shape of the gospel that Jesus gives us. There's a structure that we have so that when we gather for worship on Sunday, nothing, not one bit of God's worship song, God's worship story gets missed or gets left out. You know, we need all the food groups. Ever had a nutritionist or doctor say that to you? You need all the food groups, not just the ones you like. You need them all. And we need that here as well, because the goal of it all is to be strong in the Lord and not malnourished and weak. The goal is to learn what it means in larger ways to love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and indeed to love others. The goal is to follow in the way, the life of Jesus to the end, faithful to the end, not wavering, not falling by the wayside. And we reach that goal as the caught and the taught of the faith comes alive for us again and again and again, week after week after week, in our gathered worship. Worship that lifts up God's song and God's story. I'm going to read for you, before we sing our sending song, what Diane read from Psalm 100, because